Pleased to be able to say I'm going to welcome my first guest this afternoon. It's Giles Keating, who's the owner of Athelhampton House. Good afternoon, Giles.
Afternoon, Andy.
And how do we find you today, sir?
Very well, thank you. Very well, yup.
Well, thank you for joining us today. You've got some exciting news of a new part of the house you're going to be opening up to the public, aren't you?
That's right, yes. Tomorrow is our formal opening. And it's really the back part of the house, which we call the Cochrane wing, after the lady and her husband who built it, Mary Cochrane, back in the 1920s.
Yeah, so because that house is, I mean, it's obviously just packed full of history, isn't it? It goes back such a long time, doesn't it, the Athelhampton House?
It really does, and obviously the front part of the house, which probably many listeners are familiar with, much of that is Tudor, in fact, going all the way back, the oldest parts, to about 1585, 1590, the time of Henry VII. And then there are Elizabethan sections a little bit later. But the back part, as I say, was built very much later, pretty well 100 years ago.
And what will people be able to see which we haven't seen before?
So they'll be able to see into some of the bedrooms. I mean, for example, there's one that we call the Noel Coward room, because we know that Noel Coward did stay there, in fact, just a tiny bit later in the 1930s. They'll be able to see what we call the half-panelled room, which is a very elegant room, which, as the name suggests, has got panelling halfway up the sides there, and then we've got what we call the La Fontaine room, which is a beautiful panelled room with a four-poster bed again is associated with one of the other owners, in fact the owner that Mary Cochrane purchased the house from.
And how long have you owned the house now?
Well, Andy, it's a very good question, and I'd like to say, oh, it feels as I've only just arrived, but in fact I've been there almost 6 years now, which, okay, look, in the grander sweep of that history is not so much, but I feel I'm beginning to feel, you know, fairly much at home now.
Are you still finding little bits and pieces which you haven't noticed before? Because it's such a big place as well, isn't it?
Oh, all the time. I mean, for example, we found a signature of Thomas Hardy. You don't get much greater of a local Dorset person than that. We found that signature in some of the stained glass. He'd obviously, I think when the house was a bit run down, he'd scratched it there. And no one had known about that. It's quite astonishing, actually.
Yeah, because I see that his father was involved in working on the house at one point, and Thomas Hardy actually did a painting, didn't he?
That's absolutely spot on, yes. His dad did really quite a lot of work. Because, you know, Thomas Hardy Sr. was really quite a sort of, you know, almost big local stonemason who employed quite a number of people. And as you say, his teenage son, as he then was, the Thomas Hardy that we know, came and did a rather wonderful watercolour, which is in the Dorset Museum nowadays.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Do you feel, is there like a huge responsibility to look after such a place as that?
Very much there is, very much so. And, you know, it's clearly something that, you know, to my mind, it's all about sharing it with the local community and, of course, the broader community, with all the people that we come to visit from far and wide. But I think that, you know, for me personally, obviously, you know, it's a lovely place to have and to be involved with, but it's also the excitement, as you said, finding out new things. And in fact, we've chosen tomorrow as the opening day for this Cochrane wing, because we discovered that it is the exact, to the very day, the 100th anniversary of when Mrs. Cochrane, who owned the John Smith's Brewery, and some of your listeners probably drink a pint of John Smith from time to time, she owned that brewery, and 100 years ago tomorrow, she opened a wonderful theatre up in Tadcaster, the home of John Smith, which she and her nephew had jointly sort of designed and paid for.
We should raise a glass to her tomorrow, I think.
I think we should. You're right. Yes.
Now, I was reading about Athelhampton House, and you've gone very green and environmentally friendly, haven't you?
Absolutely spot on, Andy. And so, really, during the lockdown period, we had quite a big exercise. We put in solar panels, we put in heat pumps, and we've even got some batteries so that we can use the sort of power that we generate in the day at night time. And indeed draw kind of low carbon energy from the grid in the middle of the night to use in the winter, to use that during the day. So so yes, we very much, and we are, give or take, we are carbon neutral now. So I think, you know, very pleased to be able to do that, and particularly in a historic house, which of course is not a simple thing to do.
No, not at all. I mean, I was watching a couple of videos last night about Athelhampton House, and one of the things that struck me was, like, you know, how much it must cost to for the energy, the heating and all that. But then when I looked at your website today, I see that the electricity is barely enough to boil two kettles a day, the amount of electricity that you're using there now.
Well, that's right. That's the amount that we're drawing from the grid. And I mean, obviously, we are generating a lot, so that in practice we actually use a lot more than that. But the actual amount across the course of a year as a whole that we draw from the grid is really tiny, as you've said.
That's very impressive for a place that of that age, as you say. Now, one of the things I think that people know about Athelhampton House, you've got your fair share of ghosts and spookiness down there, haven't you?
We certainly have. And I mean, of course, there are lots of stories, and there have been TV programmes and all the rest of it. And, you know, one of them in particular is the story about the young woman who had a pet ape, and sadly this I think she became quite miserable, and she decided she was going to, you know, lock herself up in a secret panel behind the paneling, and the ape followed her, and sadly they perished. But then the ape, some people say, can still be seen wandering around to this very day. You know, there are several other stories, but what is so fascinating is that right up to now, people are still reporting instances of things that have happened. We have people, I mean, really just over the last month or so, who say they've heard somebody say hello, even when they're perhaps not locking the house up at night and there's no one else around. We've had people who've had literally their computer, their iPad and their mobile phone go blank at the same time as the house lights all went blank. All these extraordinary things, actually.
Now, one of the programmes I was watching last night was Most Haunted, and I think it's one of their better known programmes was the one they filmed there. Have you watched that one? I'm sure you have.
Well, oh, very much so. In fact, interestingly enough, The Most Haunted, which I think went to, I don't know, 30, 40 episodes or more, they actually chose Athelhampton as their very first place they went to. And they, you know, they were there overnight, and it's quite a fun little piece. They're kind of, it's all kind of in the dark. I'm sure you saw it and enjoyed it, but yes.
Yeah, I don't normally watch spooky programmes, but I watched that one last night. And, I mean, there was a few things going on, wasn't there, in that programme?
No, there really were, although, I mean, we always wonder, I think, sort of myself and colleagues, whether perhaps they were just sort of, you know, shall we say, just exaggerating very slightly, because, I think the things that people have actually reported that I've heard of are perhaps, they're almost more personal in a way, and, you know, I mean, I'll spend a night there, sometimes alone in the house, actually, and, do you know, fingers crossed is maybe famous last words. I've never felt kind of anything unpleasant at all. But you do just sometimes wonder what's kind of going on somewhere else in the house.
Yeah, I think you could probably talk yourself into imagining something, maybe. Yeah. So just remind our listeners what's happening tomorrow, what time they can come, and so on.
Well, the gardens are open from 10, and then the house from 11. And the house shuts at 4, and the gardens a little bit later, I'm in 5, but we might shut at 4 if there's nobody much around, by perhaps getting a bit cold by that time. But so really, if people would like to come along any time during that period of time, then we'll be more than happy to show them around. Obviously, both the older parts of the house that have always been open, but then also into these newly opened rooms, and they can really explore, go up and down some staircases they might not have seen before, and some of those rooms. So yes, people would be very, very welcome.
Well, I must say that my wife and I think you can put us down on the list that we'll have to have a return visit there to have a look at everything that's going on. Many thanks for joining us this afternoon, Giles.
A real pleasure, Andy. Thank you for having me on the programme.
Thank you. Bye for now, then.
Bye-bye now.